right. Well, I'm going to have you turn your Bibles to the book of Zechariah. That's over toward the end of the Old Testament. So go all the way over before you get into the New Testament. Amen. Okay, I'm going to call this message today, Don't Lose Your Hosannas. If you've read your Bible at all and you know anything about Easter or Palm Sunday and what we call the Holy Week, the Catholics get to call it the Holy Week, but I'll call it a Holy Week. Now, we know that it's probably not the week at all that all of this happened, but we're going to honor Jesus for 1 week that it did. So I want to tell you on Friday, that's the day we celebrate Good Friday, the day that Jesus died on the cross. Well, that's the day that set everything in motion for you and I to escape the wiles of the devil and to be saved and blessed and have the word that he puts in our heart. To have him live in our heart, live and dwell in us. It all started there at the cross as he forgave us for our sins, went back to heaven, and we released the Holy Spirit to come to us. And so we're going to look at this, but I want to tell you on Friday, whatever you're doing, you may be at work, but could you dismiss yourself about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and just go somewhere alone and get alone and just honor him and say, Lord, I'm coming to the cross. I'm not going to let you die alone. Just go back. Just put yourself there. I know it's been 2,000 years ago, but just put yourself there and honor the Lord Jesus Christ for what he did for us. Oh, it was a horrible, horrible day, but we call it a Good Friday because of everything good, hallelujah, that happened to us. Well, I'll tell you about one of my birthday presents. I got to go, a couple of the ladies, or the three of us that went to Israel, the three that went with me to Israel, we try to do something now and then, so they gave me a birthday present. One of the presents was to go to the movies at Tulare and see the Ark and the Darkness. Now, it will probably be out sometimes. I think it only showed 2 days at the theaters. And but if you must see it, you just have to. It's a documentary, but it so confirms the prophecies of the Bible all the way through. And when God gives you his word, which he gave it to us, believe me, all the way through, every prophecy, he says every jot and every tittle will come to pass. Not one of them will ever fail. A jot and a tittle? What does that mean? Well, in the Hebrew, it every little jot, every tittle, every little slash. In English, we would say every little period, apostrophe, parenthesis, anything. Jesus said all of them are important in the Hebrew alphabet. Every single one of them. And every one of them will be fulfilled. So I don't know if it'll be out on TV or how that's going to happen. But make sure that you get to see that documentary called The Ark and the Darkness. So I want to just choose one of these prophecies today. And I could give you many. And I will cover 2 or 3. But let us go and see the prophecy. And then we will see the fulfillment of this day that we celebrate and call Palm Sunday. Would you look with me to Zechariah's writings in chapter 9. And we will go to verse 9. Zechariah 9 and 9. 9 and 9, Zechariah. The prophet says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. That's God's people, which were his people as well. But he was talking to Israel at that time. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. We're going to stop right there. So there's your prophecy. He promises them years before, these are the people that came out of Egypt's bondage. They had heard this prophecy before that they would have a king come to them. Behold, your king is coming. He is just having salvation. What? You mean we're not going to be under this punishing law? We're going to get salvation, which is salvation. It's healing. It's spiritual welfare. It's a release. It's a rescue. It's reformation. And we're going to have that. All of those people's lives, they believed that the Messiah, the King of Heaven, was coming to them every single day. And he said, here will be a sign. You know, there will be a lot of people, he said, the prophet said, there will be a lot of people coming saying, I'm him, I'm the Messiah, I'm him. We've even heard those things over the years. But just like Isaiah said in chapter 9, remember he said, oh, the King is coming. And this will be a sign unto you, the Messiah will come. And he will be born in a manger. A virgin will give birth to him. He will be born in a manger. And he will be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Every single word of that came to pass. We read it in Matthew and Luke and Mark, I think, and Mark. But here we've got another that says, now here's the sign that you will know that he's the Messiah. And when somebody else comes and says, I'm it. Okay, here's what he said. Oh, no, here's who he will be. He will be lowly, very humble, and he will be riding on a donkey, not a war horse. In fact, not only will he be riding a donkey, on a donkey, but it'll be a colt, the baby of a donkey, just a little colt. Look, and then he goes a little bit further and says, the foal of a donkey. Foal of a donkey. Well, if you know what a foal of a donkey is or a colt, you know they've never been ridden before. Okay, so you're not getting ready to get on top of that donkey. You're just not. So I said, that'll be the sign. He's not coming in on a white war horse, but he'll come in very humbly. He won't be pushing doors down to get in. He won't be coming with a loud mouth and addressing who he is, and I'm ready for this. I've waited my whole life to do this. No, no. He will be very humble. He'll be very kind, but look for the sign. You'll see him riding the little colt. And I'm sure those people would look around looking for their king, and then maybe they would go past a farm, and they would look and see that little colt. And see if there was anyone around that might be the Messiah ready to go. Everything that he says in his word comes to pass. So I want you to look now at the fulfillment. Did that happen? Let's look at Matthew and see if it did in Matthew 21. Just as Isaiah told him what to look for, went to Matthew, we went to look, we found the baby when he was born. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, little Virgin Mary gave birth to him, just like God said. All right, so let's see what Matthew 21. Okay, I think I'll read starting at verse 1. We may as well just get, I'm sure you've read this, but let's just give it to you for those who haven't. Now when the disciples drew near to Jerusalem, they came to Bethany, which is Bethany, where Lazarus and Mary and Martha lived. And at the Mount of Olives, they went to the Mount of Olives, and then Jesus sent two of his disciples. Look what he says. He said to them, now you go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. How many think Jesus is up to something? Okay, you'll just go, and you'll see this colt. You'll find that colt beside her. Loose them. Because that donkey's probably not going to let that baby go. So loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. And this was all done. Why? Why was this done? Well, it tells us, verse 4. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. How? Lowly, sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Exactly as Zechariah the prophet prophesied. Isn't that beautiful? And so the disciples went, and they did just what Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey and the colt. And the people, look at this, they laid their clothes on them and set him on them. So it had no saddle, had no saddle blanket. The disciples just laid some of their coats and cloaks upon the little colt's back. Verse 8, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Those were palm branches or olive branches. And that's where why we call this Palm Sunday, because it was all about the waving. It was like a wave offering. That's a whole other story in the Old Testament, but there was a wave offering. And so they cut down the branches, verse 9, and then the multitudes who went before them, those who followed, cried out, saying another prophecy, look at this, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem and all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Now, some commentaries say that there were over 2 million people there. And you say, impossible. No. No, we were there. There's a lot of people gathered. And you know why they came? It's because it was the Passover. And so every year they went up to the Passover. And they were remembering when God brought them out of Egypt's bondage. They were set free. They were able to walk out. They even took some things of the Egyptians with them. So they came out. But anyway, they went up there and they were remembering when God sent the death angel to pass over, and remember when he told Moses, he said, tell them to put the blood, paint the blood over of the lamb over their doorpost of their house. So every person of Zion that put the blood over their house, the death angel just had to pass over. Just had to pass over. Passed over every Jewish person's home who had the blood over the doorpost. So this is what they're giving God praise for. And Jesus did the same thing those 33 years he lived. He went with mom and daddy up to the temple. And they went to Passover. And he remembered how good God was to bring them out. Of course, he was there. But he worshiped and honored the law of Moses. He was there under the law of Moses. All right, let's move on. So now you've got a couple of maybe a million, I'll say a million to a 2 million, that gathered to see him. And they had heard their entire lives that he was coming. And all with one voice, it said they shouted, look at it, Hosanna to the Son of David, which is salvation has come. Salvation has come. The one who saves, the one who saves, and they're giving him honor. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And that was so strange. That was so different from what Jesus had the past 33 years, or at least the 3 years of his life, where his ministry started. I mean, for his last 3 years, everybody wanted to kill him. Isaiah said he was despised and rejected by all men, Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected. So now all of a sudden, everybody's going to praise him? How in the world does that happen? Let me tell you something. When God says it's going to happen, it happens, and he doesn't care whether you ask him, whether you like it or you don't. It just doesn't matter. His word will do exactly what he says it will do. Down to every period, every jot, every tittle, it does exactly what he said. And here they are praising him just the way they were supposed to. But nobody could touch him. Now, in a few days, in 4 days, what? Oh, yeah. In 4 days, they're going to come and get him. These Roman soldiers are going to take him, nail him on a cross, and you know the rest of the story. We'll get there next week. But not right now. Kind of reminds me of the prayer I prayed a while ago. For years, they tried to get this property. I worked there. I saw it. The Taylors would come back in, Leonard or Clifford Emerson, and they would say, "We just can't believe it. Those guys had plenty of money. They've got a great credit report. Everything was good, but it fell through escrow." Well, you know, some things may have been hidden. You never know. The tire shop. Listen to this. I don't know if I probably told you this before, but humor me. Just listen to it again. The tire shop across the street, they wanted to put that tire shop here. But the city of Porterville had their public hearing. The people from the community came out and said, "No, we don't want a tire shop on that corner." A couple of men said, "Because I work at night, I sleep all day, and I don't want to hear them busting those tires." So they said, "Okay, you can't put it there." Isn't it amazing? But they put them right across the street. "You can go over there, but you can't go here." He saved this for us. You think God doesn't have a plan? So he said, "Oh, no, you all," it's pretty Texas, ain't it? Y'all, you can come and get him on Thursday and Friday, but you're not getting ready. You're not taking him today. Today, you're going to praise him. And you're all going to do it in unison. I gave you the words to the song, and you're going to cry out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King." That's what you're going to say. And what did they do, Renee? "Hosanna, Hosanna, here he comes. We can't believe the Messiah is finally here. We've waited all these years. We've waited and waited and waited, and the prophet said he would come, but we can't believe it." Ben used to sing, "There's a promise coming down that dusty road." And that promise came. And he'd get that little girl, Jairus' little girl, and raise her up out of that grave, out of the tomb. See, Jesus got really popular. They knew he did all of these miracles. They knew he fed the 5,000 with only 2 fish and 5 loaves. How does that happen? Well, he did it. And he healed people. I mean, not just a healing, not just a gradual healing, but major miracles. Major, major miracles. But the big one was Lazarus. Tap your friend and say it was Lazarus. He's a big one. Because he had been dead for 4 days. You know, there's been people raised from the dead, even in our day, a few of them, and they'll say, "Well, actually, in one of our services, Homer Combs died, one of our board members, before he got older. Sat right about back there where you're sitting, Maria. And he died while we were having communion that morning. Called the ambulance, his heart had stopped. His heart stopped. It was stopped for 18 minutes. We kept praying. We're at the communion table. We kept praying. And he came back to life. He got back to the back door. They were there. They were working on him. And we just kept singing. We're singing all those blood songs. Remember how we used to do? In the old church, we'd just get every blood song we knew. Man, we'd hit it if somebody was in trouble. All of a sudden, he's walking out the back door. And his color was gone. He was dead. They said he's gone. His wife, poor little thing, just panicked. He got to the back door and he stuck that arm out from under the cover and waved at us. Said to me, "I'll see you tonight. Come on over. I went to check on him." This is a beautiful thing. In fact, we had about 4 do similar things that year. Remember that, Mike? Oh, yeah, I know you do. We'll take time to tell all those one day. So anyway, when God says, "I'm going to do some things," he's just going to do it. So where I was going with that is Lazarus died. He was dead for 4 days. So see, they can say, "Oh, well, you know, he was dead 18 minutes, or they were dead 5 minutes, you know. That's just life. They just came back. Sometimes a physical life will heal itself." But when you're dead 4 days, honey, you're starting to think about that. No wonder Martha got all upset, because Jesus was their best friend. And so Martha and Mary calls, hey, she sends they send word by the one of the disciples, tell Jesus to get down here. His best friend Lazarus is dead. Jesus tells him, don't worry about it. He's just asleep. Now, when Jesus tells you not to worry about something, you just shouldn't worry about it. Because it's going to be just fine. Yeah, but as I see him dead, I know you see it dead. Maybe there's someone in your home like that, or in your marriage, or in your finances. I don't know about God. I don't know. Jesus does. And he told you in Matthew 6, just don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. About 8 times he said, don't worry. What do? Worry. So anyway, they knew that Jesus went down there and Lazarus came up out of that tomb. I mean, he was wide awake. And then they went home and had dinner. Mary and Martha cooked the dinner. Simon was there. Simon was a leper. Simon had been a leper. And Simon was Lazarus' dad. Now, Jesus had healed Simon a long time ago from leprosy. Leprosy is a really bad deal. I mean, it eat their ears off, eat their limbs off. It just ate at their bodies. And then whatever part of their body was left, they could run into a wall and not even feel it because it would numb them out. Totally numb them out. Well, he got healed. Total miracle. He was so blessed. So served the Lord. So loved Jesus. So loved him. Oh, he followed him and loved having him come to his house. But one day, the Bible says that they were all gathered in Simon's house. Now, this is after he's healed, because when you're a leper, you can't go around anybody. So they're all in there, and somehow this woman came through the door, and I think she was a prostitute. But the Bible says this woman, it says she was a sinner. That's what it called her in Luke. I think it's chapter 7. He called her, he said, and she was a sinner. And so she broke an alabaster box that had like a year's worth of, it was so expensive, it was worth about a year's pay. She broke the box and pours this oil all over Jesus' feet. You know the story. She pours the oil on his feet and that fragrance filled the room. You knew it was high dollar perfume, oil, perfumed oil. And then she starts crying and telling him how wonderful she was. Now listen, she didn't really know he was that wonderful. I don't think she really knew that, but she had heard. She just heard how wonderful he was and what he did. So she starts crying her little eyes out all over his feet, the ball thing. Cries her little eyes out right over his feet, and the tears are just falling and getting his feet wet. And she takes her hair and just dried his feet, his dusty feet. She dried his feet with her hair. And then Simon, who was once a leper, came over there, but he gossiped and he slandered and he whispered about her. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It does not pay to whisper about people. So Simon goes over to the disciples and he says, hey, if he knew what kind of woman she is, he would throw her out. Jesus didn't hear him say that with this ear. But he said, oh, Simon, believe me, he knows. Simon, I have something to say to you. And he gave him a parable talking about how much he had forgiven someone. And so who do you think would want to cry out and love me the most? He said, probably the one you forgave the most. And he said, I'm going to tell you something, Simon. I saved this woman today. And he looked at her and said, I have saved you. And you were forgiven from all your sins. Now, if you come to Jesus, he will wash you and he'll cleanse you. When somebody told, well, you know, the popular thing today is, I'm a sinner. Please don't say that if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, don't say I'm a sinner if you're not living in sin. Now, if you're living in sin, you're a sinner. You can call it whatever you want. But if you're living in habitual sin, you are a sinner. But if Jesus has washed your sins away, he said, I washed her sins away. Remember the woman caught in adultery? He said, now, I save you, but you go and sin no more. Don't you go back into a bed of adultery. Don't you go back into the mess. But he said, Simon, you leave her alone. People will be talking about her in years to come. She will be used as a memorial. She was totally cleansed and totally healed. And here I am, 2,000 years later, talking about that woman. All we know about her name is she was a what? What was she? I just told you. A sinner. She was a sinner. Wouldn't you hate to be known your name, the sinner? Well, you're not. And I thank God for that. Some might be in here today. I gotta hurry. I'm going on. My Lord, help me, Jesus. But you know what he was? Who was that man? He was a religious bigot. He was a Pharisee that thought he was better than that woman. He had more knowledge because he knew the law. Who was he? Ignorant. Who was he? He was more lost than that woman was lost. Amen? Amen. So, 1 week later, some of the people, now some preachers that I've heard over the years, evangelists and pastors, TV pastors, some teach the other way, is about what I'm going to tell you now. They'll teach, that crowd cried out. 4 days later, they say, how could that crowd cry out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him? I'm going to tell you right now, that whole crowd did not cry out, crucify him. Not the whole crowd, not the remnant, not the people that knew him. But there were some. There were some Simons that cried out, crucify him. And I'm telling you today, church, don't lose your hosannas. Keep that praise in your heart, that it will come out of your mouth, that you might praise the one that loves you the most. How many have seen that ad on TV? It's words, and it comes out and it says this. And at first I applauded it, but it didn't sound right. And I'm thinking, well, what are they saying? And it says, are you going to heaven or not? I'm like, what? Oh, you forgot one word. Are you going to heaven or not? No. ABC, NBC, CBS, whoever you are, you better change that to, are you going to heaven or hell? Is your daddy the Father of God, Father God, or is it the devil? You only got one father. You've only got one place to go, heaven or hell. So when you see that ad, don't applaud it like I did the first time I heard it. I thought, well, somebody's bold. No, somebody's stupid. Don't entice people that there's no hell. No, there is a hell. So we've got to keep it on our heart, church. And I'm going to tell you, when he makes interest into our heart, he doesn't force his way in. He wants to be invited. And that's why you're here today, because you invited him into your heart. And he came. But you know what Jesus did? And I'm not going to read it to save time, because I know you know the story. If we read on down a little bit, we would see when they walked out of that house, Jesus walked into the temple. And when he went into the temple, he made the whip himself. He made it. And when he made that whip, he couldn't even stand it. He whipped those thieves out of that temple, the buyers and the sellers, those thieves. He said, you've made my house a den of thieves. But I've said, let it be a house of prayer, and it shall be a house of prayer. And he whipped them all out and threw them out. Are you here? Let me tell you, when he came into our heart, if he did not whip a few thieves out of your heart, and a few robbers, and a few liars and thieves, and all of these things. See, these things come, the buyers and the sellers. They want to buy you and they want to sell you something. And they want to sell it from the world and they want you to take it into you. And how many times do the people of God get snookered or whatever you want to call it and take things in from the world and call it God? And you better watch out and hear what thus saith the Lord. Come on, if Jesus can't go there with you, don't go. If Jesus won't do it with you, don't do it. Say, well, he lives in me. Is he with you? Did he go where you went? Did he do what you did? Did he say what you said? When Jesus comes in, he pushes those things out. He will whip them out. What are they here to do? They're here to corrupt our souls. They're here to take your soul away from you so that you will go to heaven or... Come on, let's just keep it right. With that, he becomes the physician, the lover of our souls. He knows. Jesus knows about soul sickness. He knows how bad it is when your soul gets sick, or it gets desperate, or it's hurting, and you don't know which way to go. He knows about the darkness. He knows about the lack. He knows about the misgivings and the misunderstandings and the depressions and the oppression that the thieves try to bring to our spirit and mind. Hallelujah. Keep your joy, because he is the lover of our souls. He's the deliverer of our souls. And here's what it says in Malachi 3:2. You don't have to put it up. I'm just telling you. He said, I'm the great refiner. And the fuller soap, or the detergent soap. That's what it says, literally, O King James. The word is the fuller soap. The word is him. He's the refiner. He's refining us now. Things aren't always easy in this life. But he said, you keep that Hosanna on your lips. Let him make a grand entry into your life today. Remember, do not cry. Do not cry crucified with this fickle world, because they're not yelling Hosannas. They're yelling crucify. I don't want any part of him. He's in my business right now. I want to keep him over there while I go over here. It's either Hosanna or crucify. Oh, keep that Hosanna in your heart and in your mouth and your lips. And don't lose it for anyone. Don't lose it for any situation or any bad time or difficult time or good time. You know, sometimes good times can get you busy and get your mind distracted. No. No distractions. Don't lose your Hosanna in the name of Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. May he turn his face towards you and be gracious to you. Turn his countenance towards you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.